cliffcentral.com. So I
got the Unforgiven. What a song. Oh, yeah. Metallica's Unforgiven. Because I got such shit from these people I work with about the music that I choose.
What?
I do. I get noise from you guys all the time.
I'll admit it. I give you shit about us.
Okay, well, Ben gives me shit about it.
It's
sorry,
just
much.
That, you know what it is, Gareth? It's the expectation is quite high because you are quite a natural music person. And
no,
then
I am.
Out of nowhere, Megan Training Bra will come on.
No, but you know what happens? There's a lot of time that... I've said this before. My focus isn't on the music, so I've decided to up my game now that we're back in the flow. And you will not hear a shitty song again. So, there we go. That's my... my word for you this morning.
That's a very bold statement to make.
And if I do play something really horrible, you can call me and you can immediately demand a refund.
Yeah, but sometimes you play something that one of us might think is horrible, but that the rest of us are okay with it.
Well, then you know what we'll do? We'll turn it to the referendum and everybody gets to have a vote.
Yeah, but our audience also, very discerning ears.
Mm-hmm. Very.
Very, very discerning ears.
I was listening to a little bit of American radio. It is so horrible.
Why?
Well, because it's exactly like radio here, except it's a little bit more polished. But you can't really understand some of the people in American radio.
Well, coming up in the next couple of minutes, we're going to be talking about your humor. Here's something from Metallica, The Unforgiven.
That's kind of how it goes. You don't know what they're saying. You don't know what... It's bizarre. Everybody's trying so hard to sound cool. I thought that was over. So people realize that actually the game is that you've got to be real. Or is that just us still? All right, let's move on. There's lots to talk about this morning. There's lots to talk about every morning. But there is one place that you find the truth. You get some decent opinion thrown in. And you can add your voice to things. That's right here on cliffcentral.com. 0861-555-189. Talk about agreeing and disagreeing. Tell us what you think of what's going on in the news. Here's Mabane Moloi.
Well, why don't you let us know what you think about the happenings from the ANC NEC over the weekend? In summary, here's the most important thing that we need to know. ANC Secretary General Gwede, you know Gwede. Gwede Mantashe. Okay, so he had a whole lot of things to say to the media.
No.
Basically, the alleged influence of the Gupta family on the ANC and government officials took center stage at their NEC meeting.
I'll bet it did.
He said that the ANC-NEC had frank and robust discussions on the serious allegations surrounding the Gupta family. You know, on their purported influence on the appointment of ministers. He said that such actions have no place in the ANC or the government. He said that they have the potential to undermine and erode the credibility and confidence of the people in leadership of the organization, the ANC, as well as government. And he said that they reject the notion of any business or family group seeking such influence.
Well, they reject it, but they don't reject the guy who's not rejecting it. Know what I mean?
We know what you mean.
Is it just them, or is the independent media actually in this?
What do you mean?
This whole thing.
What do you mean, independent media?
Well, are there any in the audience?
What, during when? Well,
hell
he was.
No, it's a closed session.
Okay, so then we can't take this seriously at all. I mean, I thought if they're going to have some sort of integrity, they would have media.
But remember, this is exactly what Justice told us on Thursday. Right in the thick of it, when you know people like Fakie Mentor and Mcebisi Jonas were coming forward and saying that they were offered such and such by the Guptas.
And Themba Maseko.
Yes, and Justice told us, he said, nothing is going to happen to the president. The ANC will, you know, battle it out among the two factions. But at the end of the day, he will still be president and absolutely nothing is going to happen. Absolutely.
Well, it is clear that after we had gone through elections, and I think it was reported that I was exhausted, and then quickly the doctors took a very good decision to say I should take it easy. And that's what I've done. I know that people were speculating. I read in the newspapers that how sick I am and what is it that, what are the diseases that are in me. I was shocked. I thought that it may be another Jacob Zuma, not this one.
Yeah, he's here to stay. He's going nowhere.
The Secretary General also added that the appointment of
this
ministers...
fucking guy. I love this guy. I mean, he's just, he's bulletproof, right?
He's got more lives than a cat. I don't know how many lives he's got, our president.
What a guy. I wonder if Atul and the other Guptas were there. They were actually like moving him around with their strings.
Yeah, with extra fake moustaches on.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, while you were away, Gareth, I saw a tweet by a guy who, it seems that he's originally from Zim. I can't remember his name, from Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. And he tweeted, and this got so many retweets, and he said, I envy South Africans because they can say anything that they want about their president and criticize him. And they don't have to fear being arrested or suddenly disappearing or being reprimanded in any way whatsoever, which is something that, you know, we really take for granted considering some of the things that we say about the president in this country.
Uh-huh.
In other parts of the world, you can't do stuff like that.
No, that's true. I mean, he's got a good point. You know?
They shout as loud as they like from Washington or from London or from any other quarter. Our people, only our people will decide and nobody else.
Well, Brad says we know when President Zuma lies, he's clearing his throat and that always comes up when he's spinning a story. Yeah, I think we picked up on that long ago when we invented the State of the Nation drinking game. Remember, everyone is hammered after 5 minutes.
Oh, that was such a good game.
Roman says he listened to 702 and Power Something by mistake for 10 minutes. One was talking about shamans and the other was talking about how the stock market isn't African. Bullshit masquerading as information. Well, you've come back home, so don't worry. And everything on here is exactly the honest truth. That's what, I mean, who do you trust more than Mabale Moloi?
No one.
Exactly. Unless you know, you don't know what's good for you if you don't. Hey, do you want to hear a clip that Nando's have released about the Guptas?
Sure.
Apparently getting a lot of people very fired up.
Okay.
If you'll pardon the pun, fired up. And don't forget, Nando's bring you the Burning Platform every Thursday with Justice Malala right here on cliffcentral.com. It is the one stop for all the political analysis you need over the big issues of the week.
Last week's episode, so power.
Yeah.
Go and download that and listen.
It was like a therapy session.
Right.
It was great.
Go and take a listen to Justice Malala on Thursday. And I noticed, did I tell you he was on in the TV in the Departures Lounge in Dubai on BBC World?
Yes. Saw that as well.
Oh, he's very much in demand, our Justice Malala. So there he is, talking to the rest of the world about South Africa, telling them what a douchebag our president is.
Away, Master Kent. Listen, I've got a Nando's delivery here for Mr. Gupta.
Oh, which one? There are 3 Guptas on this estate, each with their own gate. Look here on this map. This is the main Gupta gate. Then that's the Litty gate down there. And there's the Profly gate on the other side.
And what about this gate over there? This one looks like it could give me access to all 3 Guptas.
What? The Investigate? Oh, no, no, no. Nobody bothers with that one anymore. It's been broken for years.
At Nando's, our doors are always open. Nando's, fire it up.
Yeah, I like them. Not afraid to be controversial. Very, very nice.
That's actually priceless.
It's good, huh? All right. You know what? I don't know what to make of this, but there is other news, and maybe Mubs has got the details on this, but I read a story early this morning, a release from all 3 of the big foundations of 3 of the greatest leaders in South African history. The foundation of Oliver and Adelaide Tambo, which is run now by Frenny Ginwala, the Nelson Mandela Foundation, which speaks for itself, and the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation. Now, Ahmed Kathrada, Oliver Tambo, Nelson Mandela, I mean, you don't get political royalty like that.
Mm-mm.
Those 3 people, in various ways and in various quantities, made larger and greater and more unbelievably powerful contributions to democracy in this country than almost any other people. Right? You can't argue with the legacy of Oliver Tambo. You can't argue with the legacy of Nelson Mandela. I mean, you can. You're going to be wrong. And Ahmed Kathrada, the only one who's still alive, a very powerful, influential man in his quiet way. When we had him in here that time, last year, and you can download that podcast too to hear his stories. We had Ahmed Kathrada in here. He wouldn't talk about present politics. He said, you know, I'm going to leave well enough alone. Well, even he's saying, whoa, 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 stop the clock, right?
So what happened is that the chairpersons for these three foundations that you've just mentioned decided to act as signatories, and they got together and drafted a letter, which they handed over to the ANC-NEC on Saturday, just as they were kicking off their NEC meeting. The letter was reportedly handed over to Gwedimantashe in Pretoria on Saturday. In the letter, the three foundations expressed their concern about the political climate in the country, saying that they were disturbed by several accounts they had received from students, religious leaders, members of the community, the media, and civil society organizations. Here's part of the letter. We believe we have reached a watershed moment. We appeal to the NEC of the ANC as they meet in the weekend to take note of the mood of the people across the country, to reflect deeply on their solemn responsibilities, to make urgent choices, and to take urgent corrective actions in the best interests of South Africa and its people.
Hmm.
But by the end of Secretary General Gwedimantashe's reporting back to the media, he said, the appointment of ministers and deputy ministers is the sole prerogative of the President of the Republic. To this end, the ANC continues to confirm its full confidence in our president.
Bitches, please.
The end.
I mean, full confidence?
Full confidence.
Not even half confidence? Full confidence.
Yes. Get real. Get fucking real.
Which in itself is suspicious because, you know, again, according to Justice Malala, these two factions that exist within the ANC show that there's some kind of struggle happening there where you have some people supporting the president but others not. So I don't know about full confidence, Mr. Secretary General.
You know what? I had an interesting discussion with somebody, and I'm not going to say who it is, and I probably shouldn't even say what it is, because it's going to cause people to think differently. It certainly got me thinking differently.
Uh-oh, well then maybe you shouldn't.
This is very controversial.
I don't
even know if I should tell you.
Do you want to take a moment to think about
it? Yeah, it's your human right, Gareth Gerford.
Yeah, maybe now you can.
So this friend of mine says, you know what? You're all stupid.
Oh.
Oh.
He says, you're all looking at opposition parties. You're trying to vote EFF or DA and you think that's going to change things, and it won't. Mm-hmm. Because the majority of people in this country still believe in the ANC for whatever reason. Maybe they're being threatened. Maybe they just don't have another option. Maybe they don't believe in the opposition parties as much as they believe in the ANC, whatever it is. He said, you've got to change the ANC. What you've got to do is you've got to go and register. There are only 700,000. You remember the president struggled with that number. 755,000, 550,000, and 350,000, or whatever it was. But there's 700,000 registered members of the ANC. He said, you could easily get 100,000 or 200,000 people who would ordinarily vote EFF or DA. Say to them, listen, stop wasting your time. Let's all go to the branches and take over at the branches.
But could we just do that as, sure. as citizens?
You register in your municipality.
Yeah.
For that ANC branch, you go in, you take it over. Because a lot of the people who are in it are not even working very hard. Most of them don't even go to the meetings. Then you become that branch delegate. You go to the general convention, and you go to the NEC eventually, and you change it from inside.
Hmm.
If 100,000 people did that, it would completely, and they wouldn't know what to do. The ANC would be too slow to react. You take it over from the inside. Forget these opposition parties, he said. The ANC is not going to let them take over anyway. So get in there, join the ANC, and change it from the inside. Turn it over at branch level. Get on the NEC, get rid of the president, get rid of all those people who are attached to these patronage networks, and set up your own proper government.
Makes a lot of sense, but that's hard work. People just want to be able to vote and go, I had my
People
say.
Don't even want to vote, Ben. Yeah. They're so lazy. They sit and complain about the government.
You see, that is maybe our problem, is that we're looking to the government to fix all these things, but actually, what happens if they don't fix anything? Then what?
They're not going to.
Then what do you do?
No, we've got to make the move. And we've got to take over the ANC from the inside. All those people who are dissatisfied, get in. Get your hands dirty. Change it at branch level. They can't argue with that. That's how the ANC works. If you changed it according to their rules, they wouldn't know what the hell to do. Avi says, even if we did remove Gedlehlekisa, there'd still be so many other clowns around, like Gwede. Well, again, I read something else over the weekend. Because I slept all weekend. I hardly did anything. I read some articles. That was it. Gwede and the rest of the top six are doing everything they can without open revolt to make this work. They're actually playing a very smart game, according to some people. I don't know whether that's true. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They've got to have a plan, right?
Sure, it's all about strategy in politics.
Brad says, full confidence in the president. In other words, if we don't, the Guptas will fire us. And Quentin says, that cricket commentary yesterday was 10 times better than anything I've ever heard on Radio 2000. I hate Peter Kirsten. Thank you, Ben.
Don't hate is such a strong word.
Wow, Quentin.
For something like this, Quentin.
Yeah, Roman says, that's how Zuma won. He created many new ANC branches, and you only need 100 members to create a branch. See?
Really?
Yeah.
Only 100?
100 members to create a branch. We could create 1,000 branches by election time.
Okay.
And then we'd take over. Let's think about it. I mean, I'm going to ask Justice what he thinks. He's much smarter than I am.
Well, it's a much better approach than the good old, I'm just going to vote for someone as long as it's not the ANC. That's not going to help anyone.
Do you really love the EFF or DA?
No,
hell no.
No one does.
Nobody really loves them.
No. At the end of the day, who really loves politicians of any kind?
Please, say it again. What's that woman, Will Smith's arch enemy? What's her name? Aunt Viv?
Janet.
Bitches, please.
All right. What's? Bitches, please.
Janet Hubert.
Blacktress.
Yes.
Janet
Hewitt.
Yeah, that's what she calls herself.
Right.
Okay. Can we move over to America?
Sure.
And look at their politics for a second?
Do you want to?
Well, yeah, because, you know, first of all, let's take a look at President Obama, who has touched down in Cuba and becomes the first American president to set foot in Cuba for 9 decades.
That's a very big deal.
It is a big deal, Gareth. And he took the whole family with.
Oh, nice.
Michelle and Sasha and Malia are there with as well.
Obama!
Touched down in Cuba on Sunday, definitively ending a half century of estrangement in a dramatic personal demonstration of his core foreign policy principle of engaging America's enemies. There was a big deal made about the fact that the current president of Cuba was not on the tarmac to greet the American president. He sent one of his ministers to go over instead. And then apparently Donald Trump took exception to this and was like, oh, he's disrespectful. And, you know, it's the first time you'll hear Trump speaking or defending Obama for anything ever.
Wow.
But he apparently had something to say about the fact that the president did not meet Obama there. He just sent one of his ministers.
Huh. Do you know what the song's about? It's a well-known song, right? Guantanamera.
It's about the women rolling Cuban cigars on their voluptuous thighs.
That's right. What a beautiful image. Just hang on. Let's live with that before I tell you the truth. In my thighs. A Guantanamera is a woman from Guantanamo.
Okay.
Now, Guantanamo is just a province of Cuba, but there's the infamous Guantanamo Bay, which is owned by America, right?
Yes.
Where they keep political prisoners, like those dicks from Al-Qaeda. And a Guantanamera is a woman from that province. Beautiful woman.
Oh.
That's what the song is all about. These beautiful girls from Guantanamo.
Okay.
Rosa Blanca. White Rose. You like this, Ben?
Great.
Hello. Yeah, be honest. Right. Yeah, baby. But I like Mubs' definition. Call that cigar, baby. Between your beautiful Hispanic thighs. You look very nice, Chiquita. You like that, huh? All right, so there it is. Good luck to Obama in Cuba. I've got some friends who went to Cuba. They loved it. Said it is beautiful. It's kind of dilapidated because there isn't really much that anyone has done in terms of maintenance since the Spanish left. But you see a lot of old cars driving around. It's very quaint. Everybody earns the same amount of money. So if you're a doctor or you're the guy who fixes the road, you earn the same money.
That is so interesting. So weird.
Proper socialism. And it's worked in some ways, but obviously there's no real urgency. Nobody really tries their best. No one works as hard as they possibly could because they're going to earn the same as everyone else anyway.
Oh, that's interesting because I remember hearing that Cuba was the first nation in the entire world to stop mother-to-child transmission of HIV/AIDS.
That's true.
Which I thought is impressive for, you know.
Yeah, they've done. Listen, it's not a horrible place.
No.
And it's got really beautiful places around the island where you could visit. And you know, it's been isolated for such a long time. The American embargo meant nothing could leave and nothing could go in from America to Cuba. And they couldn't really trade with their friends because their friends are so far away. You know, Soviet Union and all of that stuff.
But it makes for an interesting dynamic because you say everyone gets paid the same and there's no urgency, but yet there are so many doctors that come out of Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to be making the same wage, I don't know if I'll be studying to be a doctor.
Oh, hell no. You'll go for the easiest job. I want to be a pet masseur.
Yeah.
I want to be a Guantanamera.
Right. Damn right you do. You could easily do that.
And the same as a doctor, why not?
Uh-huh. Huh.
Okay, so that's Obama news. And now Trump news. Interesting story that Ben told us about last week. The hack group Anonymous, right? They released this footage about how maybe in a few months' time, about how Donald Trump...
Please let's not say that yet.
When does he become president-elect?
The elections are in November. So very soon, before the year is up, we'll know. Anyway, the hacker group Anonymous made a whole big thing and released a statement online about how they're planning to stop Donald Trump in his tracks because he's bad for the country and for the world, etc., etc. Since then, the group released Trump's phone number and social security number in a targeted cyber attack. But now other things have been happening on the sidelines as well, Gareth.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump's older sister has been sent a threatening letter just 24 hours after his eldest son, Eric Trump, received a suspicious package. So I don't know if it's a case of people just trying to mess with Donald Trump psychologically or if, you know, these are warnings for bigger things to come. Federal appeals court judge Mary Ann Trump, this is now Donald's sister, discovered the note at her home in Philadelphia over the weekend, prompting police to investigate. There was no white powder in the envelope, but the threat was very similar to the one that was sent to Eric Trump. Eric is Donald's eldest son. It is not clear whether the mail was sent by the same person. She is a 78-year-old judge with the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Now,
I didn't know that his sister was a judge.
She is, Gareth. Huh,
okay.
Maybe
she should be president.
Police were called to the apartment of Donald Trump's eldest son, Eric, earlier last week after his wife opened a letter and white powder fell out.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Well, you know, anthrax. That's what you think it is.
Yeah, that's what you think it is. Inside the letter, postmarked from Massachusetts, was also a note threatening to harm Trump's five children if he does not pull out of the presidential race. Eric Trump and his wife live in one of Trump's luxury buildings in Central Park. More than 24 police officers were called to the scene. After testing this white powder, the NYPD reportedly found nothing hazardous. So I don't know if it's just mind games or if these threats should be taken seriously.
Well, welcome to the world of real politics.
Welcome to the world of real politics, where, especially in a country like America, I mean, how many presidents have been taken out?
Yeah.
In the past?
I saw that douchey Trump son, Eric Trump.
Yeah.
He came up at one of Trump's rallies. He just kind of sidled up next to his dad with his wife. And the two of them stood there and kind of nodded their heads whenever Trump said anything. I just thought, this is exactly the problem with inherited money, is this guy. He's not exceptional at anything. You wouldn't even have known the name Eric Trump if his dad wasn't Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump's dad wasn't another man who'd made a huge amount of money with the surname Trump. You know what I mean?
Can you imagine the level of douchery those kids will then take on if the White House is theirs?
Right. By the way, Donald Trump's father's name was Fred. Fred Trump. Anyway, let me play this for you. This will remind you of what kind of stuff Donald's saying to get people all excited about him.
We are led by very, very stupid people. Very, very stupid people.
Yeah.
We cannot let it continue. We are a country that owes $19 trillion. We lose everywhere. We lose militarily. We can't beat ISIS. Give me a break. We can't beat anybody. Our vets are being treated horribly. It will change. We will have so much winning if I get elected that you may get bored with winning. Believe me, I agree. You'll never get bored with winning. We never get bored. We are going to turn this country around. We are going to start winning big league on trade, militarily. We're going to build up our military. We're going to have such a strong military that nobody is going to mess with us. We're not going to have to use it.
That's what he's saying. But you can understand people get excited about that, right?
It's like he's plagiarizing for Killian Balula, though. You will get tired of winning. We'll be winning so much.
Well, isn't that a guy that you don't want to be plagiarizing for Killian Balula? I mean, really.
I am amazed at Trump's confidence. I mean, the man just gets up and he says, we are led by stupid people.
Yeah.
It's just...
Dumb people.
That's the beauty of hyper-ignorance as well.
Unbelievable. What a guy, huh? So much winning that you'll get bored with winning.
Imagine.
Anyway, so let's see what happens over there. He's just something else. I mean, he's come out of nowhere. And the guy's turning the system on its head. All the politicians are running scared. There's a movement inside the Republican Party called Stop Trump. Because they don't know what to do with this guy.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what can they do?
Run and hide. It's exactly what they are doing.
Because if the people want Trump... Then the people decide.
Right. All right, what else have we got?
Mark Zuckerberg is in China. Now, China doesn't allow Facebook to operate in its country, right? It's banned. And so apparently Mark Zuckerberg has gone back to China on a little business trip because, you know, at the end of the day, he wants, you know, to be able to take advantage of that untapped customer base because, you know, big numbers. So Mark Zuckerberg goes to China, and then apparently he does this. He's doing this thing where he says that he's going to be running a mile a day, regardless of which part of the world that he's in. So he has this trend now where he posts pictures of himself jogging, and a lot of the time, because he is Mark Zuckerberg, hangers on will jog with him, and it becomes like this big like snowball effect of just joggers.
So Forrest Gump like.
So he did that in Beijing, and. Now, this latest picture that he posted of his jog in Beijing has caused an uproar. The Facebook CEO ran through Tiananmen Square and posted a photo of it from China. Some people are criticizing him for associating himself with a symbol of communism, because, you know, those damn communists.
Right.
Others are genuinely upset that Mark Zuckerberg was running without a face mask in Beijing's pollution problems, and they're taking exception to this. People are actually getting upset at the fact that...
Well, you have got to have so little going on in your life if you care about Mark Zuckerberg breathing in shitty Chinese air. Really?
Yes.
You care about someone else's health that much? How little do you have to worry about in your own life when you start worrying about that in Mark Zuckerberg's life?
Sam Overholt wrote, commenting to Mark's post, "The pollution in Beijing is so bad today that most people won't even go outside without a face mask on. And this guy takes a jog like he doesn't have a care in the world."
What do you care? What's his name?
Sam Overholt.
Sam Overholt. What do you care about what Zuckerberg does with his spare time? And who are you? Zuckerberg can get, he could buy your lungs that you've been careful to protect. He could buy you on the flesh market. Take your lungs out and swap them with his, and you could have that Chinese polluted air in your lungs. You wouldn't even know it. Have some guy come up with a handkerchief with chloroform in it, and the next thing you wake up, big scar in your chest. What do you care, Sam
Overholt?
Whatever. That's right. I was going to say that. Sorry.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Now, along with this picture that Zuckerberg posted, he mentioned, "It's great to be back in Beijing," to which Tran V responded, "Are you praising communist leaders for allowing you to post your Facebook update at Tiananmen Square, where 26 years ago they crushed young students with tanks?"
Tran V, we wouldn't have known Tran V existed until Twitter and Facebook came along. Tran V, you should be sucking on the penis of Facebook for the fact that your comments even get taken into consideration. Tran V. What a name, Tran V. I love the way all these people who never ever would have said a damn thing, they would have walked past you in the shopping mall and gone, "Oh, sorry," if they bumped into you by mistake, are now suddenly big political activists on Twitter and Facebook. You guys are such heroes. Come and say it to his face if you can get close to Zuckerberg. He doesn't want anything to do with you either.
But also, it just goes to show you the psyche of some people. I mean, you're never going to please everyone. But if somebody has decided that they don't like you, they really will find any reason to take you down. The fact that Sam Overholt has a problem with Mark Zuckerberg not wearing a face mask. Really? That's the biggest issue that you have with Mark Zuckerberg?
It's such a big issue. He had to go online and actually make that comment. Well, how about you pull the weeds out in your garden, or you give your kids a pat on the head, or you use the toilet brush after you've taken a dump, or something useful to society. Telling Zuckerberg that he should run with a face mask is not your biggest priority. I'm amazed you think it should be. What a chutzpah. Anyway.
So a Facebook spokesperson did not immediately respond to requests for comment.
Good. Why should he?
Yeah. Zuckerberg has responded to a few comments to his picture, but none that criticized his run. So he's, he's also just being like, "I don't have time for you, Sam Overholt."
Yeah.
Not responding to your comment.
The trolls. Oh, these trolls. All right. What else have we got to do? What else do we have to know about today? Flex, you've got something for us.
There was a massive celebrity house party over the weekend.
Who's the celebrity?
P. Diddy.
Oh, yeah?
Celebrities, French Montana, all the A-lists were there.
Mm-hmm. French Montana's A-list, is he?
He's pretty big.
Really?
Guess who DJ'd?
Who?
Just take a guess.
Bieber.
Black Coffee.
Oh, wow.
He is booming.
Jesus, that's amazing.
P. Diddy's house party he played.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of him.
We got to get him in here.
No, when he comes back, he's going to be on.
You better get him in here. That I'm going to hear all about that. Imagine things he saw.
He's got photos chilling with Diddy.
Oh, nice.
He's basically friends with Diddy now.
Good for him.
Probably calls him Puff. Puffy.
I don't think anyone calls him that anymore.
Well, who knows? Because he's changed it so many times. I don't actually know what we're calling him these days.
Sean John.
Sean Combs.
Sean Puffy Puff Combs.
Do you remember that story of how in the middle of one of his many name changes, he went back to Sean Combs and then realized that the Twitter handle at Sean Combs was already taken by a guy who actually sells combs. And he asked this guy to please let him have the handle, and the guy said no.
So he had to go back to P. Diddy. Oh, that's funny. Some dude who sells combs gets to tell one of the greatest artists what to do. I love it. Here's Anna Kendrick and Adam Devine. They're playing Shag, Marry, Kill. All right, you ready?
Okay. Batman, Superman, Thor.
Batman, Superman, Thor?
All right, so Anna Kendrick's Batman, Superman, Thor. Let's see who she chooses. F, Marry, Kill.
Batman, Superman, Thor. Okay, so you wanna marry Thor so you can go live on Asgard. You wanna... Wait, Batman, Superman?
Yeah.
Ooh. I guess I would Batman and kill Superman.
Oh.
There's so much... I saw Mallrats when I was a kid and the whole thing about, like, the, you know, super-powered, like...
Wow.
Wow. You know, emissions, if you will, like really, like emissions. Really scarred me as a kid. I should have
emissions?
Watched.
What
I should
that?
Not have watched that movie.
What do you mean? Like he's you know, injecting
like,
the superpowers.
Like emissions.
Right. Adele, Beyonce, Taylor Swift.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's a good one. Adele, Beyonce, Taylor Swift. That is a good one. Well, obviously you're gonna have to kill Adele.
Yeah, strange yeah. How that's the first thought.
So, I mean,
right?
Between Taylor no. and Beyonce, who's worth more money?
You'd marry Beyonce.
Yeah, I would yes. marry Adele.
You've got to marry the money, right?
I'd marry Beyonce, for sure.
Yeah.
She's a she's an incredible woman.
Yeah.
I would marry Adele. I reckon if it came to fisticuffs in a bar, she'd get your back. I reckon she'd be the best conversation out of those three.
You are a liar. You are a liar.
But we all know you never talk to your wife once you get married.
I would kill Beyonce because she's annoying. And I don't know, maybe you'd have to have intercourse
with
Taylor Swift.
Bang Taylor Swift.
Oh, no.
I would bang Taylor Swift like a swing door in a hurricane.
No, you see.
I'd marry Beyonce and Adele would face the chop.
Mm.
See, Beyonce would be annoying.
Could make a couple of steaks out of Adele, let me tell you.
No. Oh,
that's
all. Okay.
In any case. The rule is, if you marry Beyonce, she mustn't sing at home. She has to only sing at work.
Okay, well, that changes things.
That's the best thing about it.
No, it's absolutely not.
I would want to wake up and just, she's like serenading me.
Sia would turn straight for this game.
Yeah.
Yes, you would.
All right, let's see what Anna Kendrick does.
I would.
Oh, it's Adam Devine, sorry. I wish Anna Kendrick would answer that. Love to know who she'd be lesbian marrying. Hmm. Who do you think she'd go for? Probably Beyonce as well.
Yeah, everyone would marry Beyonce.
Ooh, it's Sophie's choice.
Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Okay.
Careful now. You're in trouble.
I know.
This is a no-win.
It's a real loose.
You cannot say that you're gonna kill.
I mean,
Adele
I want to marry
Beyonce,
but I don't want to kill. I guess I would maybe Adele.
Oh, lies. What a lie. Who would ever? Who in the whole universe of people would choose to bang Adele?
Don't do.
In
this.
The whole? No, no. Come on. Who in... what a lot of crap. I've lost total respect for this guy. He's a liar.
Taylor. And then Mary Beyonce. I want to them all. But that's not the choices
okay.
that you gave me.
Okay.
Katniss Everdeen, Christian Grey, or Olivia Pope?
Ooh.
Sorry, who was the first one?
Christian Grey, Olivia Pope, and who?
Okay.
Is that you gave me.
Katniss Everdeen.
Katniss,
as in Jennifer.
Oh, right,
Lawrence.
Katniss from Hunger Games.
Oh.
Okay, Katniss from Hunger Games.
Olivia Pope.
Olivia Pope.
Christian Grey or Olivia Pope.
Okay, Christian Grey. So now we got a mix-up of
is
genders
Olivia
as
Pope
well
again?
Here.
Oh,
she's from The Fixer,
Christian,
Scandal.
Christian Grey is the 50 Shades character,
yeah,
no?
Right.
Dead.
Oh, okay. That's useless. You've got to marry Olivia Pope.
Yeah.
She also wields some serious power.
And you bang Katniss.
As fixer.
Katniss is in a bondage suit her whole life. She probably would bang her.
Yeah. Mm. Plus, I actually think that the actress who plays her, what, Jennifer Lawrence?
Oh, I
yeah.
actually hate her.
Like, you don't
she's
like her?
So annoying to me.
Mm. All right. Who's this on the line? Flax, who we got on here?
We have Sekate.
Okay, let me go to Sekate.
And he's working today, a full day work.
What are you doing, Sekate? What are you doing? What work do you do?
I'm a construction financial administrator and a sales officer.
That sounds horrible. What does that mean?
It's like I'm taking the health and safety of the people on site, and I'm also running the financial and administration side for the project.
And you guys are doing construction on a public holiday?
Yes, actually, now we are currently working in the mine. We're constructing in the mine now in Mafikeng.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of work, man.
Yes, a lot of work, a lot of work, 6 to 6 every day, Monday to Saturday.
Mm.
It sounds like you don't get a lot of sleep. What time are you up in the mornings?
We come around 4:30 every day so that we can leave around 5 o'clock and it's around 40, I think around 60 k's away from work. That's the time 30 minutes every day.
And what time do you get home in the evenings?
Around 7.
Oh, man. That's barely enough time. So what, you eat supper and you go straight to sleep?
It's not easy to go straight to sleep because the following day when I need a lunch just to prepare for the following day. By sometimes if you are tired, you can't cook just by takeaways and eat for the supper and prepare for tomorrow.
Damn, dude. Do you get a lunch hour or something in the middle of that long day?
Yes, we do. We do get around 30 minutes, but it's a work on progress. You eat while you're working. Actually, we don't have a specified a lunch, but anytime you feel that you need a rest, you can just go and ask for the 30 minutes rest so they can have your lunch and so on.
I'll tell you what, I'm never going to complain about my life again. It sounds like you have the hardest job of all.
Don't ever complain about it. You can come here, you'll see that you've got the good job ever.
All right, I believe you. All right, man, don't work too hard today, all right? It is a public holiday. Try and knock off 1 hour early.
Yeah, we'll try to knock off early, but it depends. It depends because we're working the production. The last production we make, there is more money at the end of the month. And you see, we are trying to, because we are the subcontractor, we have to supply more material to the man so that it can keep us going and so that we can have a stability source of income.
Damn, dude. Well, listen, thanks for calling us. Hell, sounds like a hard life.
Yeah, it's a very hard life. And remember, we are staying away from our family. So our family is in the other... I'm originally from Limpopo.
Yeah?
And we only go home once a month for 5 days. And
Well, dude, all the best to you. I'm glad you listened to us, and thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, brother. Bye-bye. There we go. Don't complain about your job.
A 12-hour working day, 30 minutes of a break. Yeah. You're up at 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
You're back at home at 7 p.m. Yikes.
Can you imagine that? That's your life?
And he's not 6 days a week.
And he's not earning huge money. He's doing okay, but he's not making a killing. See how hard some people work? Anyway, let's not get depressed about other people's horrible lives. Yeah. Let's play a game.
I've got a quick little boat story I want to throw in here.
Oh, a boat story.
There's this new £200 million research boat. It's like the most incredible thing. It's going to be going around the poles, basically researching why the world's about to end, all this kind of stuff.
Wow.
It's amazing, okay? Right. So amazing that they're actually letting the public name it. So you got to think, if a boat is going to be doing such amazing things, it's going to have like an explorer's name or whatever. These are the top four categories right now, right? Royal Research Ship. So every name will be RSS. So that's the name that goes on the side.
Mm-hmm.
The candidates so far getting the most votes. In fourth place, RRS Pillar of Autumn. God. Third, RRS David Attenborough. Makes sense, right?
Explorers, like that. And that kind of stuff. Like that.
RRS Henry Worsley in second place. Uh-huh. But currently in the lead with RS Boaty McBoatface.
No.
You're kidding.
Whoever wins the vote gets to name the ship. Okay, this £200 million research ship is currently
Boaty McBoatface.
RSS Boaty McBoatface is the current leader.
That's so cool.
And it might even end up being called, can you imagine that? And the scientific mission led by RSS Boaty McBoatface has discovered why polar bears are dying.
I like it. So I would have gone with David Attenborough, but I like Boaty McBoatface.
No, you can literally go on to at NERC Science on Twitter and name our ship. Well, look out for the hashtag name our ship. You can name and vote for the name of the ship.
Okay, very nice.
Boaty McBoatface. I think it's a winner.
It's time for a game. It's F, Marry, Kill special edition. This time we were inspired by Anna Kendrick. And we're going to let everybody have a turn, and you can play along in the comfort of your own home this public holiday. Let's start off with Mabali Moloi. Are you ready, Mubs?
Yes.
You get F, Marry, Kill. You get Kanye West, Justin Bieber, and Eminem.
Oh, okay. I'm going to kill Eminem because I just don't trust an unstable person like him.
Right. He could get violent suddenly.
I could irritate him one day and end up in a boot at the bottom of a lake.
Or in a song, even worse.
Yes, so he's going to die.
All right, that's Eminem out of the picture. So you've got to now F or marry Kanye West and Justin Bieber. Whew. Come on.
You know, I'm going to...
Go on.
I'm going to marry Kanye because I think...
Ooh, Shem.
I think... Okay, first of all, he's not really bankrupt, right?
We
discovered that whole thing was all for publicity, attention, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
So I'm going to marry Kanye West because I think that with that amount of money, I can actually manage to not have to deal with him for a great portion of our marriage.
Right.
And he's hectically busy. You know, he'll be in and out of the country a lot. So I won't actually have to put up with my husband for that long.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but he'll force you into stupid tweets. He'll force you to say
and he'll steal your phone while you're showering and tweet revolting things from your account.
I know. He'll make you have a tour with Barbara Streisand.
I know. But then the other option is to marry Justin Bieber, and that's not going to happen.
Well, but he's always running around the world trying to chase young tails.
So I'll have a night with Bieber, and then I'll marry Kanye West, and I'll pray to God that Kanye West has a mistress in every country of the world.
And he's touring
a lot. To also keep him occupied.
And then you can be on your own and be happy.
And then I can go about my business.
All right, Mavs has thought this through. Ben, it's your turn.
Yes.
Oprah, Barbara Streisand, Kim Kardashian.
Well, this is a win all around, isn't it? Well, look, both of them are...
Who's both of them?
Talking about the geriatrics there. Obviously, I don't really want to have sex with Oprah or Barbara Streisand.
Okay.
Kim Kardashian is younger of flesh.
Yeah.
So I'd go there with the physical act.
Oh, so you'd bang Kim Kardashian, all right.
I'd marry Oprah.
Yeah. That's
totally.
The move.
And Barbara Streisand, unfortunately, would die. It's quite an easy one, actually.
All right. Barbara Streisand would die. Yeah. All right. Here's a good one. Ronald McDonald, Colonel Sanders from KFC, and Justin Bieber.
Oh, who's this for? Flex or Sia?
I think let's make this one for Flex.
I'd probably have to... marry Justin Bieber.
Oh, he'd have to.
He'd have to, yeah. That'd be such a stretch.
I'd sleep with...
Ronald McDonald or Colonel Sanders.
Ronald, he'd be crazy.
Colonel Sanders, because probably more greasy, less lube needed.
All right. Colonel's secret sauce.
And your Ronald's lost.
Ronald's gone. All right, how about this one? Sia, this is a tough one. Trevor Gumby, Trevor Noah, Trevor Manuel.
Okay.
Gumby, Manuel, Noah.
Marry Noah.
You didn't give me a lot of options here for girls. You know that. Flex.
It's fine. We'll be fluid with our sexuality.
What do we call ourselves then?
Non-binary.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay, so who we got here? Trevor.
Ish. I'm sorry, Gumby. No, you must go.
Gumby's dead.
Dead.
Aye, shim.
Gone.
Okay. All right.
Marry Noah.
Yep.
Oh, but then Manuel. Ugh.
Well, see?
One night is better than a lifetime. So, yeah. Just take one for the team with Manuel.
Oh, really?
You're going to kill Gumby.
Kill Gumby. Marry Noah.
He didn't even hesitate on that one.
Oh, no. Like.
Wow. You'd have thought, like, actually knowing the guy would help. You don't know the other two, but you know him and you'll kill him.
Yeah. It's nothing personal.
All right. all right. Ben, here is one. I'll make one up on the trot. Camilla Parker Bowles.
Nice.
Betty White. And Rosie O'Donnell.
I'd marry Betty White.
Yes.
Marry Betty White.
Mm.
Oh, she'd be so much fun.
Mm.
Okay.
Rosie O'Donnell. I think if you had to try have sex with Rosie O'Donnell, you wouldn't have a penis left. I think she's got one of those, like, vaginas with teeth. It should eat you up. It'd be death. So you should have to die.
All right. And Camilla.
Then Camilla and I.
You'd have to have one night of passion.
In the stables. Lump of Teff. Yeah. That would be it.
All right. I think we're done with this game. I want to talk to our guest for this morning. He's coming in next. His name is Paku Motombo. He is the lead actor in Django, which is a story of South Africa's superhero, our first superhero. It's amazing. This guy's also a leading figure in the world of dance and African hip-hop culture. He's appeared in a number of TV dance shows already. Aria Kelman makes a surprise appearance in the TV show. Ooh. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
He makes a little cameo in there.
I see a damsel in distress.
No, he's busy doing his show, and some of the events that happen in the story take place. It's all very exciting. So that's coming up next. Paku Motombo, we're going to meet him. We're going to get to know this guy, and we'll tell you all about the series Django as well. Lots of stuff to get excited about, right?
You know you are.
CliffCentral.com